Did you know that the best place to view the project is through the website theythemproject.org? It's the only place you can see all the photos, videos, and podcast interviews, and easily share the project to help it be seen and make a difference. In addition to the website, They Them Project is everywhere. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook, and subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or Google Play. Remember, the project grows and informs only when it is shared by people like you. Go to theythemproject.org and share what you see and hear. Hello, my name is Brent Dundor. I'm a full-time photographer, activist, and ally, and the proud producer of the They Them Project. They Them Project interviews non-binary individuals, offering a platform for them to be seen and heard while informing and educating everyone on how words and actions affect the trans plus community.
My name is Miko, and I also go by Blaise Bordeaux as my performer name, and I use they, them, or he, him pronouns.
Thank you for being here again, Miko. I'm having people come back who I have worked with previously for the project, because there's going to be a gallery for They Them Project. And so I'm bringing people back to try and get a different styled portrait that I think is going to be really powerful when people see everything in a gallery setting. So thank you for coming back and getting your portrait. Mm-hmm. I think we did pretty good at that.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what they look like.
All right. So while we were taking your picture and before we started all that, I mean, we were just talking back and forth, and I was saying to you that I have followed you through Facebook, and that there's frequently things that you put up as status updates that get a lot of comments. And I just wanted to give you an opportunity to speak on anything, and maybe for us to have a conversation about, well, really anything you want to talk about.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you for doing this. I don't think that we do it quite enough as a person of color, saying thank you to you for putting this together and using your privilege to serve our community. So I think that's a really important thing that we don't say often. Not saying that we have to validate every experience, but I think in a world where Facebook right now, we're attacking people, is a lot easier when we don't know them. We forget sometimes the humanity and the energy and work that it takes to bring a project like this to people. So I think, thank you. I appreciate you doing this. Also getting some kick-ass pictures I wouldn't have access to before, because you're super talented. But in terms of kind of going off like Facebook and stuff.
Well, if I can. So thank you for all of that, first of all. Thank mm-hmm. you for the thank yous. We both thank each other. We're thankful.
We're pretty awesome.
Well, one of the conversations that we had, I brought up to you, and I've actually been asking other people from the project what their opinion is on the fact that I am a cisgendered male individual who is doing this project on non-binary people. Mm-hmm. And why don't you go ahead and share your opinion as you had done with me before?
Yeah, I just think that we have had a lot of stuff happen to us as people of color. And yes, we're angry, we are upset, we have feelings about it, but I think one thing that we forget ourselves is, how do we actually fix this? We know the problem exists. We know that there's disparities, but how do we actually work on making this place better? And I think that starts by having conversations and talking to each other. And it also starts with people like you who have white privilege, using their privilege and their what they have and putting it to good use.
I would go as far as to say any type of privilege.
Yeah. I mean, but essentially, you in the position that you currently stand because of who you are and how it is, you have the most privilege, you know, but you're not being a douche like other folks are. And you're actually using it and using your platform to get it out to the world as to who we are.
Who is we? So like, let's try to go there with all of this.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So, you know, people who identify, who are trans, or also who identify in kind of that gray area of they, them. A lot of people, I mean, this is a new concept to them. And a lot of people use the excuse of language because, you know, it's really hard for me to say they, them. You know, it's just, it's not a question of whether it's hard for you. It's just like, this is who we are. Please just respect it. And the fact that you took that and you kind of went with it and you're like, all right, let's try to understand that. That's what white cis men should be doing. They should try to understand. We should all try to understand each other a little more. I just kind of see it as like, it's not my fault I was born person of color. It's not your fault you were born white. That's just how the dice rolled. And I think we should focus a little less on skin color for everybody and focus more on who the person is.
Yeah. So, well, on this topic, I mean, we were talking about this before I turned on the microphone. There was a documentary through Netflix, and I believe that the director, the person that produced the movie, was a cis white male.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of kickback and at least opinions throughout the news based on the fact that, once again, a story of someone in the queer community, and we can label that a bunch of other ways as well,
mm-hmm.
is being told by a cis white male. And this is something that, I mean, obviously with this project, I constantly am thinking, and I have actually heard certain opinions. I've never had anyone really argue with me about it. Mm-hmm. But the question is, why am I doing this project? Should I be doing this project, Miko?
I think you should. I think it's right for you to do this project. I think people need to know what this is, but it's also, it comes down to, like, for that particular example, you know, that I heard that somebody else was trying to direct it. That was so that in situation, then I'm like, okay, maybe he shouldn't have. Like, say if there was a POC person that wanted to put this project on together and had the idea first, but then you did it, then that's where I would draw like issues with that, because it's like,
if I started up again and just took it away from him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That I think that in itself is a different,
yeah,
that yeah. That's no good. But I think the way that you're going about this isn't, because you're still queer and your partner is a person of color. So it's just like, even if the experience isn't directly affecting you, it is affecting someone that you care for. And so you may not know exactly what that feels like, but you see it. And I think there's power there. And I think that's something that, you know, a lot of white folks probably just don't know what to do.
It's a question. I forget when I started, I don't know if I even asked you originally at the beginning of They Them Project,
mm-hmm.
but one of the questions that I ask everyone, and I've learned to ask everyone, even if I assume maybe I shouldn't,
mm-hmm.
Is how does race directly affect someone who is non-binary or trans? Or does race directly, I forget how I actually asked that question.
Yeah. I think I actually think you did. I think.
And you were talking about Latinx.
Yeah. I think it's a different animal when you're just judged based on your skin tone and not, you know, it's a little bit different because it's kind of like an older prejudice that's still there.
Well, and the reason that I bring that up is I learned I haven't talked about this in the project at all with anybody, but me asking that question was one of the biggest steps to me understanding privilege on a different level.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually, I think it's through that question that I really started to say to myself, okay, well, I feel like I'm doing good for this project. And I really want to understand, like, am I doing this the best way possible?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the answer is yes, personally.
I would agree.
but asking the question of how does race affect someone who is trans or is questioning their identity and wanting to come out, et cetera. Ultimately, if I had to answer that question, it always has to start with the fact that, well, I can't relate directly to what that feels like.
Mm-hmm.
But then it goes back to the conversations that we're starting to have here and what we were talking about before we turn on the microphone of like, well, how much can you relate if your partner is a person of color? If the fact that I am bisexual and I feel something when someone says either that I'm straight or that I'm gay, how that affects me and how it has affected me in my life.
Since there's so many layers in identities, and basically what I've found, like in my experience, is that if you have felt ever some kind of prejudice, you understand, and you may not understand it to the level like, let's say that I've gotten it, but you're getting the crumbs.
Yeah.
Once you have the crumbs, we have something to work with. We have a little bit more common ground because it's like that feeling right there. Take that feeling, amplify it through years and years of repetitive, and that's where people of color then start to come in, and then you can kind of maybe start to get an idea of the pain that they feel. For me, a metaphor that works is just kind of think of it as like a tattoo. Like every time somebody gets my pronoun wrong or says some crap about my skin tone, it's like one of that needle digging into your skin.
Huh.
And it just keeps digging, where it just becomes this thing that you just get used to. You kind of get numb to the pain a little bit after a while. And then it's just like, you're just like, all right, I'm accepting this. But just like, you know, these little jabs, these little tiny minute jabs eventually just start to really freaking hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying from a tattoo perspective, tattoos, I think they hurt, but other people, but I was just trying to create kind of like a...
No, that really helps.
You know, it's just like these tiny little jabs into your skin where you're just...
And sometimes it's more like a stab.
Yeah. Sometimes it's a deeper wound. Sometimes it's like, and if your skin's already raw and then it's just like... That's what it is. There's just so much pain. And then after a while, that pain becomes bitterness. And that bitterness just turns into, like, I feel like I'm experiencing that now with how, you know, politics are being run. And also, like, I'm a moderator for the Queer Exchange, which right now has, you know, 11,000 members. And I see it specifically in there. Some of the privilege that folks just don't understand they have.
So let's try to dig into that. Mm-hmm. And let's go right in. So
tell me
exactly what you're referring to.
The Queer Exchange is just this online platform on Facebook where it's just queers can exchange ideas and goods. So, you know, if you need a roommate and stuff and you're looking for just queer folks or want to sell something, you go there. But lately there's been a trend where just some white folks on there say some really ignorant stuff. And then it just creates this toxic war between each other. And then my job as a moderator is to come in with an unbiased opinion and try to just kind of be like, all right, let's all get along, which isn't going to happen in a group of 11,000 people. But it's been really kind of disheartening how we attack each other online. There's just so much we lose in just having a face-to-face conversation. You know, you can't read people, you can't get that emotion, but you also can't like empathize or sympathize with their experience, you know.
And through Facebook, I mean, I've given up on trying to have harsh conversations through there.
Yeah.
I remember a comment through someone specific that started the harshness of it all by trying to be polite by saying, I know this is probably going to dig my own grave or put me under the bus or something. Like, I know people are going to be upset by this, but I'm going to share my opinion. If you have to start a conversation like that, you're probably starting it wrong.
Yeah.
And my biggest point of all of this is, well, it's probably better to have a one-on-one conversation so that someone really understands what you feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what we're doing here right now.
No, yeah. I think that we just lose so much now, and like we need to all do better as human beings to just remember that we're all human beings and that we all have our own unique experiences. And sometimes we're going to find commonalities and most of the time we're not. I mean, when it comes to skin tone, we're going to have different life experience because we're going to see life differently, you know, and then you bring queer and gender identities into that. And it's just like, you know, sometimes I tell myself, I'm like, I must be some sort of masochist, because there's days where I'm just like, you know what, I would like to walk down the street or go on the bus today without having somebody harass me for wearing makeup or for being brown. Like, sometimes I stay at home because I want to avoid that when I go out to the world. But, you know, at the same time, I'm also like, whatever, I'm going to be me and I'm going to be whatever, because it's just, that's how it is. And that's how I have to be. So, you know, with the pain, there's also kind of this really resilient strength that comes with it, mm-hmm. too. And I think we need to focus on that more and then just talk to people. You know, I'm a person of color and I really appreciate you as a white person taking my photos and putting that out there. I appreciate that because you don't have to do that. You could just be like, I'm just gonna, you know, go to models and blah, 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 and be an amazing photographer, but you're not. And I think that's what white people need to do. Like, how do you help your fellow people of color, whether they're queer, whatever the case, just take the power that you do have. Even if you don't think you have any, there's so much privilege. Just take what you have and use it for good. It's like you kind of have this superpower you don't know about. And you didn't even know that you could use it that way, but it's just like, just use it for good, put it for good use, to help people that don't have the things that you have. I mean, there's times too where my partner comes home and, you know, or I'll come home and I'm just like, I just don't want to deal with today. I've quit jobs because I got tired of being misgendered. Like, I was like, I don't want to deal with the emotional shit that comes with that. And then it catches you off guard. Is just intense. And so, like, you know, even in the queer exchange, when I see it right before my eyes, there's days I want to throw my phone and not ever be on Facebook again and not ever do that. But I'm trying not to do that. I'm trying to just find more space to be more forgiving.
I've seen conversations through Facebook and other social media that question people who use they, them pronouns or are non-binary, gender non-conforming. And my response has just been to put the link to this project. And I'm not even trying to just like promote that right now, but like, it's ultimately the way that you respect someone is to take time to appreciate, try to understand that, like, what makes them different, why they are different, mm-hmm. who they are. And I mean, that is what I'm trying to do with this project, is show that people have stories and they have journeys. And I genuinely feel that there's not a single person on this planet who can listen to, if they listen to every single one of these interviews, that is not going to change their perspective on that.
Yeah.
For the better.
Yeah. No, it's because we're humans. Like, it's just, a lot of times they don't get it. And so because they don't get it, they don't know how to process that. They don't know how to deal with that. And I've done that too, where it's like, I've gotten in heated debates about it too online. And I've just been like, boom, I'm going to put the they, them project. I just post it in there and be like, watch this and then talk to me. Mm-hmm. And I found that it has worked. It has worked. That's what I use. It's kind of like my little pocket resource where it's like, nope, here's the they, them project. Here's like actual like people. And here's what we have to say about it. And I think that's awesome. I think we need to be able to do that, because I feel like we can only really get through people by showing them like the humanity.
If you have something negative, if you feel that you have a place to say something negative to someone else about who they are, absolutely every time you are insecure about something. Mm-hmm. There's no reason for someone to try to hurt somebody else unless they are insecure about them, because it's somebody else's life.
Yeah. Or if they're hurting too. I mean, like I, there's a lot of truth too. And like, people who are bullies have a lot of internalized hurting. And it's just kind of remembering that when you're fighting that other person's like, that's what I try to, when somebody's just not listening, I'm like, you know what? You probably got some stuff going on that has nothing to do with me. And you're just using what that anger and that toxic energy and spewing it out. Mm-hmm.
I want to just give you another chance to say anything to someone listening or the community at large.
Just treat people with kindness and respect. Literally, the golden rule is the golden rule for a reason. Just treat others how you want to be treated. And instead of arguing online, take a step back and try to see if maybe you can talk to that person privately or in person, because I feel like you'll get your point across a lot further than trying to just spew out hate. And then just, you know, white people, you know, listen. That's the first step in being a better ally. Just listen and then use your privilege for good.
They Them Project grows and informs only when it is shared by people like you. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast channels on iTunes and Google Play, and follow us on Instagram and Facebook. The best place to view all of the project is theythemproject.org. It is here that you can see all of the photos, videos, and podcast interviews, and easily share the project to help it make a difference.